Wake up, wake up. Yes, I'm late. Router issues this morning. What can I say? I apologize.
Ooh, you suck. I mean, it must be the heat over there. It is going to be a scorcher next couple days here in the Bay Area. Welcome to Wake Up. We got to have a sprint edition. Kruger is on the radio at the top of the hour. So let's just hop right into it. Welcome, everyone. Thank you very much for being here. Like and subscribe. And we are starting with Brandon Ayuk because that's become a little bit of an internet sensation over the weekend. I mean, I tweeted a little something about it and 350 retweets and people arguing the Niners are being so wrong. They're ruining their reputation in the NFL. This is petty. You don't treat players like that. Everyone needs to calm down and realize this is a big boy business and this is standard operating procedures. So let's talk about, Larry, why the Niners are doing what they're doing with Brandon Ayuk, why they have the right to do it, and why every other NFL team supports what the 49ers are doing. I think we start with the fact that the Niners and Ayuk's relationship, let's not, you know, mince any words here. It became purely transactional after the 49ers gave him a transaction that was a life-changing transaction. They gave him all the money, all the guarantees, everything a young wide receiver could ever want in the NFL. And then, you know, he tears his knee up and the relationship just instantly started to sour. Now, there might have been some buyer's remorse on the initial contract signing, but that wasn't Brandon Ayuk's fault. That was on the Niners' side of the table. But since that moment, the level of unprofessional that has come from Brandon Ayuk's side of the table is why things are so icy. And this is just a straight up, it's all business now. There's no more trusted agent. There's no more trying to do right by you on the way out the door. We're just going to try to get something for nothing. And that's what's going on here. It's kind of amazing how many 49ers fans are saying they're doing something wrong by doing this.
And who is this, by the way? Who's saying this? Is there anybody who's actually saying this?
It's just fans chirping, angry, upset fans. It's so funny how many 49ers fans.
What are they upset about? I mean, who do you root for? Do you root for the Niners? I mean, the Niners are going to do what's in the best interest of the Niners. And right. That's, I think, should be the expectation. So why are they doing it? They're doing
The number one reasons are they're saying, well, they're just acting petty, which, you know, generation groupthink has that reaction to just about everything. And the other argument that they're trying to put forward with some merit behind it is that this is going to hurt their standing with other players. And I don't think so, not at all. I really don't. You know, the 49ers do want to do right by their incoming and outgoing players. But in this case, any sense of brotherhood on the way out the door got replaced by the way Brandon Ayuk acted, and the 49ers want something for nothing. And they should. That's what they should. And, you know, this guy, when he was on the team, he went far out of his way to make the team worse. They officially owe him nothing at this point in the relationship. And that's what I'm surprised so many 49er fans are tripping over. Then when it comes to, this is going to damage their reputation. Look, a future Hall of Fame wide receiver just signed with the 49ers because they thought he says on the record they were a piece away from winning big. So I don't think their reputation has any damage being done to it. And then when you talk about the way the league wants to operate from a business standpoint, every team in the NFL wants to treat their players right, okay? But they also want to keep players under their thumb in many ways. There is no player empowerment movement coming to the NFL the way that the NBA sort of went through it. Careers are too volatile. They're too short. Players are too replaceable for that to ever happen. This isn't going to damage the 49ers pretty much across the board stellar player relationship in any way. And if they can get at minimum a seventh rounder for Brandon Ayuk, they should. I even think they could maybe get a little bit more, but they probably can't because that's how much Brandon Ayuk has hurt his own reputation. People are wondering if he's got all his marbles right now.
All right. Well, I mean, first of all, you know, if you root for the San Francisco 49ers, not the San Francisco Ayuks. So, I mean, what are you rooting for? I mean, and what difference does it make? Does it matter to you if we walk the trash to the curb or if we run the trash to the curb? Does it really matter if I hand it to the neighbor to take to the curb or if he says, hey, I'm going to put it in my can? It really doesn't matter. It's all trash. It's all going out. It really doesn't matter. You can sit there and debate. Do you care if your trash is in your can or your neighbor's can? I mean, your neighbor may care, but for the most part, people don't. They're like, oh, you know what? It's all going out anyway. Yeah, go ahead. Put your trash in my can. I have no more trash. So, I mean, that's really it. I mean, the 49ers got their starting quarterback with the last pick in the draft. So the last thing they're going to do is be like, ah, it doesn't matter. No, you know, it's just a late round pick. It doesn't matter. It matters a ton. It matters a ton. And also, you never know. I mean, you never know what the situation is. there was speculation yesterday. Coach Yak had it on his X account about trading Brandon Ayuk to the Commanders for Luke McCaffrey. You know, while that sounds like, oh, man, I don't know about that either for either side. I mean, if the Commanders really want Ayuk and the Niners like Luke McCaffrey, if I were the 49ers, I would probably throw in some other player or pick. You want Brandon Ayuk and Garendo for McCaffrey? We can do that. You want Brandon Ayuk and another player for McCaffrey or a pick? We could do that. So, you know, I mean, they don't owe him anything. Other than, you know, eventually part ways with him. He's kind of screwed up their situation. I don't think they're in any rush to do him any favors. I mean, I don't see that happening. And what the heck? I mean, you're the 49ers. You should be about the 49ers. This was the trade that Coach Yak had on his X account, McCaffrey for Ayuk. I'd do this trade, and I think that maybe the Commanders might as well. So, if it took Ayuk and a pick to make it a reality, I would do it. I mean, look at it this way. It's bad PR right now for the Niners if he walks out and they get nothing and he just goes to the Commanders. It's better PR if they trade him for a pick. It's even better PR if they flip him for Christian's brother. So we'll see.
Well, and the truth is you just don't know what's going to happen between now and that moment of truth either. You just don't know. You know, Brandon Ayuk might only be the apple of the eye of the Washington Commanders right now, but that could change. You know, we're one off-field, off-season incident away from somebody maybe regarding Brandon Ayuk a little bit differently. And the thing about it is this whole thing is just such an entire shame. For a minute there, he really was a very good 49er. He was there. I don't know if he is a wide receiver number one as far as the league looks at it, but he was certainly a WR1 as far as the 49ers were concerned. He was a guy that absolutely, you know, did everything you'd want a wide receiver to do with his run blocking assignments. Brandon Ayuk was a tough, scrappy ass player that was pretty easy to root for a very, very long time. Why it all so thoroughly disintegrated, I mean, I don't think we're ever going to get the real answer. I don't think unless anybody sits down to write the tell-all from within the 49ers locker room, we're ever going to know what really, really happened there. Because, again, players are usually fighting over money. He got a level of money which should have ended any acrimony at all. Well, they got a little buyer's remorse. So what, man? That money's been spent. It's good. Your guaranteed money is golden. Why are you showing up wearing the wrong shorts to practice? And, oh, by the way, Kyle Shanahan, why are you making such a big deal about it? Like, what is going on over here? And I don't know if we'll ever really know, but he does still have value. Does he have more value to any team outside of Washington? Well, you'll never find that out if you just release him and let him go to Washington. So, of course, you're going to stick with him and see what happens. Let the wheel of business turn. And in the meantime, those who think that the Niners are damaging their reputation, their ability to do business, their standing with free agents around the rest of the league, the standing of their own teammates, no.
Well, we don't know. I mean, it's all speculation. It's all speculation. Nobody knows. Nobody knows what's in the mindset of the players and the agents. We'll just have to find out. Time will tell.
It won't be Brandon Ayuk's situation that comes between a player and the decision to come to San Francisco. I really believe that across the board.
We'll see.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it. I know, like, we're going speed brick here today. Thanks so much to Ike's of Ike's Sandwiches. It's a perfect day to eat lunch outdoors. Go to Ike's, pick up a sandwich. You'll be very happy that you did. It is gorgeous outside, Larry. Real quick, hit your sponsors real quick.
Yeah, thanks to Pig in a Pickle for being the title sponsor of the Krug Show. Check them out. They're in Emeryville. They're in Corte Madera. They're open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. till 8 p.m. Thanks to Pig in a Pickle. Check them out in Petaluma in 2026. Thanks to Alomar Marina, voted Sacramento's favorite lunch spot. Their website is alomarmarina.net. You can float while you have breakfast, lunch, or brunch in Sacramento at 5999 Garden Highway. They're open Wednesday through Sunday, closed Monday and Tuesday. Once again, alomarmarina.net. And also thanks to Novato Chevrolet. Go see my guy David Corral. He's the man to go see. He will get you a steal of a deal. Tell him that Krug sent you. Thanks to Novato Chevrolet. The only Chevrolet dealership I go to is Novato Chevrolet.
Two questions I want answered this week here, Larry. Is Trent Williams still your starting left tackle? Get that deal done. I'm surprised it's taken this long. I would like to see the 49ers address that. Now, do they have to? Are they still 6 months away from their first week? Yes, but this is the thing that I want Trent Williams back on this team, period, end of story. I don't think they're better without him. I don't think the compensation will be able to instantly replace him. I want this Trent Williams thing done. My question to you is, do you want anything done with Joey Bosa? There's a lot of Joey Bosa to the Niner noise. His brother has restructured a contract. His mother has basically wondered aloud what her two sons on the same team might be. Do you think that is something that is imminent going to happen?
It seems like it. You know, they've danced this dance in the past, but I think that maybe Joey had more interest in them than they had interest in him. So we went to Buffalo on a 1 year prove it deal, and then he proved it. You know, he had 9 seasons with the Chargers. He signed a 1 year deal with the Bills last offseason. And then what did he do? He produced his best single season pressure rate since 2022. He gets off the football. He's still explosive. He can burn the edge on third down. He can still give you some fight on first and second down as a run defender. The run defender numbers are not great, but he still has great pass rush hands. He's definitely strong. You're talking about a guy who's close to 280 pounds. He's bigger than his brother. He's not the same kind of player. He missed a third of his tackles against the run this past year. So he doesn't quite separate in against offensive tackles like he used to. But yeah, if the price
is right, we know it's not getting better, but there's a price point out there where it makes sense.
Well, I mean, we'll see. I got to think that if Nick is renegotiating, it's probably with the idea of bringing Joey in. With Raheem Morris there, I think there's going to be more multiple type looks. And I think Joey makes a lot of sense, even though he's an older player. You know what? I mean, would I like to see the Niners go younger? Yeah, and I do want to see them go younger this offseason. But more than anything, they have to come away with a half dozen really fearsome defenders. And right now they've got two. They've got Osa Odighizuwa. They've got Greenlaw. Now you add Joey Bosa, that would be three. And then you just need two or three more out of the draft process, which is not easy to do. But if you can do that, you've got mission accomplished. And you showed up this year with 5 or 6 more fearsome defenders than you had when you left the field in Seattle. So I think things are going pretty well.
Are you ready to get excited? We got a long month, but 32 days until round one of the NFL draft is here. So I really think this is going to be the draft that either keeps the, you know, USS Shanahan full steam ahead here as the head coach of the 49ers, or this is the draft that is sort of the fork in the road moment where his ship has a very good chance to run ashore and he's got just a handful of seasons left as the 49ers head coach. I think that with the right draft class this year, this thing could still go for a significant amount of time in the Shanahan regime, in the John Lynch regime. But a bad draft class this year, I think is where it just, it, you know, you're seriously now moving in the opposite direction of the two biggest rivals that you have in your own division. And those are teams that are looking to win a Super Bowl. And if you're not keeping up with them, you're definitely going in the wrong direction to only keep up with them. They got to come away with rookies this year that are players that can play, that can hit the field and contribute. They can't be stashed. They can't be draft and stash players. They need a big, big NFL draft, and the draft starts in 32 days. The one thing that they don't have to draft, Larry, is punter. Thank goodness. Don't need that third round punter. Veteran punter Corliss Waitman. He replaces Thomas Morstead. That happened over the weekend. Waitman is a 30-year-old goofy footer. He's a lefty, Larry. That does put a little bit of a different spin on the ball, makes it a little different to field than most of the punters who are mostly right-footed. Strong leg, 46.4 yards per punt over 52 career games, 26 punts inside the 20-yard line. That ranked 10th in 2025, nine spots ahead of Thomas Morstead, who was, you know, okay. He wasn't good. He wasn't great. He wasn't bad. He wasn't terrible. He just was. The third punter in as many seasons. Are you comfortable with so much punting turnover, Larry?
Well, the numbers say he's better than Morstead. Morstead was 34th in yards per punt. This guy was 27th. The Morstead was 17th in net yards per punt. This guy was 34th, so he wasn't as good there. He was 10th in Corliss Waitman, were 10th in punts downed inside the 20 with 26. As you mentioned, Morstead had 22. He was 17th. So, I mean, this guy grades out a little bit higher than Morstead. That's fine. I mean, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter to me. Morstead was 40. This guy's a little bit younger. I had never even heard of this guy. Never heard of him. His name could have been my name. I mean, who knows? I had never heard of this guy.
Well, I've heard of Larry Kruger, so his game name could not have been your name.
Never heard of Corliss Waitman. Never heard of Corliss Waitman. But there you go. Welcome aboard, Corliss, and we'll see if he can do the job.
Here's the thing. If you do your job well, we won't have to learn your name because we're never going to bring it up again. Just go. That's the ultimate just do the job well position. And hopefully, you know, he's the tip of the spear for a rebuilt 49ers defense. Okay, moving quickly. Larry, you got 20 minutes before you're on. So NFL news, just a little broad NFL news. Did you see that the Jets are trading Justin Fields to the Kansas City Chiefs for a sixth rounder this morning? That's going to be the best job in football. Justin Fields can go learn from Andy Reid and sit behind Patrick Mahomes after what? He gets a couple of early season spot starts for him as he's recovering from his injury. So I think Fields is well positioned, and it's a now or never situation, I think, for him. You know, he's bounced around. He's been in bad situations, good situations. I think he's got to, you know, you want to put your career in good hands. If you're a quarterback, I think you're in good hands with Andy Reid.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to find out if Andy Reid and Mahomes in a great offense and a great, you know, system can you know, what it can do to Justin Fields. I mean, Justin Fields, if you watch him pass the ball, he has great accuracy. If you watch him run, he's got 4.4 flat speed. If you watch him physically operate over the course of a game, you can see glimpses and snapshots of, yeah, this guy's good enough. But then when you see him in the red zone and you see that he really doesn't anticipate the openings, he doesn't throw guys open, he doesn't throw to the void. Now, can that all be corrected with Reed and sitting behind Mahomes? If so, then, man, I mean, it's probably a bad omen for the rest of the league. It basically means that the best teams are always going to be the best teams because they can take your bad quarterback and make him great. I mean, we're seeing that to some degree with the Niners and Mac Jones, but I just don't think that this is going to happen that way because I don't think that Justin Fields can't throw with anticipation because he doesn't want to. I mean, he wants to, he just can't, he doesn't see it. So we'll see if Kansas City can open the, you know, turn on the light for him. But
right.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I think you either can or cannot. I think he can or cannot throw with anticipation. He doesn't see it. He does not see it.
He's deep enough into his career where if it were about his own light coming on and field recognition being a part of it and knowing what he's looking at, if that is his internal processor, it ain't working. Now, maybe he gets a little, this is the last official reboot. Like this, if it works out for Justin Fields here, maybe there will be a future in another uniform one day. But if it doesn't work out for him here, that could be it. Speaking of...
It brings up a good point, though. It's like, it kind of leads you right back to the Mac Jones. It's like, should the 49ers, they have a quarterback that they can win games with. They have a quarterback that fits in their locker room. They have a quarterback that fits on their cap. I've heard both ends of the spectrum. I've heard trade him. His value will never be higher. And then I've heard this extend him. There's been an awful lot of talk about extending Mac Jones and giving him a multi-year contract extension to keep him in house. So, I mean, those are two diametrically opposite approaches.
Well, but you would also be what? I wouldn't even agree to an extension if I were Mac Jones, unless it were just a can't say no, because why would you lock yourself into a price point that could haunt you in your next location if you were then asked to be a starter in your next location? I don't know.
Protect yourself. Hey, look, you know, if I get traded, my contract amounts become void, or maybe there's a different amount for a starter. Who knows? I mean, they could do something in there, but I mean, the bottom line is this: Kyle Shanahan was rumored to be interested in Mac Jones. He kind of has stated that he sort of was, even though they went with Trey Lance. Lance just signed an extension over the weekend, by the way, with the Chargers.
That's our next story.
He's staying with the Chargers, but I mean, if you have a quarterback that you can win games with and that you really think fits your system, like Shanahan thought that Mac Jones fit his system, why would you move him?
He's the ultimate insurance policy, and you just had Geico get you through your hospital stay, for goodness sakes. So, As I said, if you can go ahead and get a real return that you think you can round out the rest of your team with in this draft, let's talk about it. If we don't talk about it, what you have is the best backup quarterback in football. And that doesn't sound like a bad place to be operating from for me. Not ever. So either way, I see the merits and demerits of the situation. You said Trey Lance, all those words, Trey area is now down in Los Angeles. He's back with the Chargers on a 1-year deal, could be worth up to 6.75. I wonder what the bones of that deal are, what the minimum is on it, because that's probably what he's going to make unless Herbert were to have some season-ending injury. This is a 25-year-old guy now, Larry. He is getting old right before our eyes here. He was the third pick, obviously, in 21. He's on his third team now. I will say this. The Chargers evaluating, we still want you. I do think that means something. Harbaugh's got a quarterback's mind and background, and obviously Mike McDaniel is no chump when it comes to quarterback play and wanting good versions of it. You know, he is still defined by the one thing he has never had, and that's the actual reps. He has started 6 games in 4 professional seasons. He didn't play in 2023. 4 of those starts still came with the San Francisco 49ers. He only had 19 starts in college. For Trey Lance, it's constantly been an issue of opportunity and playing time, and he's not going to get any more of that this year unless something goes terribly wrong with Herbert.
Yeah, but... You know, here's the thing, you know, some people are all over the map. I've been very consistent when it comes to Trey Lance. I don't think he was ready. I don't think he was ready to beat Brock Purdy. I didn't think, once I saw Brock Purdy, I knew Brock Purdy would, there was no way he was going to lose out to Trey Lance. But I'm also not in the category of Trey Lance sucks and is done and is never going to be good. You got to remember this. Trey Lance had a very unique college experience, and thus he's having a very unique NFL experience. But I really think he made the right decision to stay with the Chargers. He doesn't need to keep jumping. He just needs to improve his game. I don't know if it's ever going to come, but something tells me that he is going to figure it out. Why? because he's smart enough, he's athletic enough, it means enough to him, and it's all learnable stuff. We saw Alex Smith have a late career renaissance. I really believe, now maybe I'm wrong, but I really believe that Trey Lance is going to have a late career renaissance where he plays good football for somebody at some point. Maybe it's off the bench for the Chargers. I don't know. I will say this. I do not believe that he's going to go, you know, like, I think that the best is still ahead.
There's no renaissance without opportunity. And I'll tell you what, if you are, you know, if you're yoked in life with having to carry the burden of you're just a backup quarterback, that is still a pretty good living. Let me tell you, Trey Lance has made over $36 million in career earnings. That number likely to go north of 40 with what the Chargers are giving him to come back this year. And, you know, let's say you only keep half of that. $20 million for six NFL starts ain't a bad career, man.
You know, well, I'll give you this too. I'll give you this. His brother is a legitimate big time prospect who runs in the 4.3s and is 6.4. And it would not surprise me at all if his brother becomes a player of note in the league. And that leads to a couple more opportunities for Trey. I'm just saying, I think Trey's best ball is coming. I think he's still going to play well for somebody. I really do. I don't think it's going to be soon. But if he stays with it, I think he's going to get there. I really do.
Let's hit supers, Kruger. We want to get them all in while you're here. I know on Friday we did them without you. Let's do them with you today.
All right. We got seven right in the hopper here. We got this one. Too much sauce. Now you've got a friend in the diamond business. Open weekdays till 9, till 8.
Shane.
Saturday and Sunday till 5 online.
At Shane.com. Was it Shane, right? Wasn't that it? Was it the Shane Company?
I bought my wife's wedding ring at the Shane Company.
How about that?
She lectured me about losing my wedding band. Who lost her wedding ring?
Oh, she did. By the way, I'm on Wedding Band 2.0 myself. I lost the original one. The original one was like $1,000 because it was platinum, which was freaking ridiculous. But I figured, all right, it's my wedding ring. We can invest in that. This one is like, this is tinfoil. This was like a $400 ring.
I took a key off my keychain and put it on my other hand. It's basically it's for like my keychain. You know, you put your keys on the ring. I'm like, screw it. I'll just wear this for a while. But I'm wearing the wedding band. But yes.
Wait, are you rocking rings on both fingers, on both ring fingers?
Yeah, I told my wife, this is our wedding band. This is the band of, you know, the girl that I saw that I wanted to marry instead.
The what might have been band.
We got this one. Blood Moon, check your Bud Grant Cone's tweet regarding BA.
I don't know what that is.
When he says Bud Grant, you know, I'm thinking Vikings coach.
What are the Houston Oilers saying about Brandon Ayuk?
Bud Grant. Isn't that the former Viking coach, Bud Grant?
Who am I thinking of? I'm thinking of Buddy Ryan with the Houston Oilers. Yeah, sorry about that.
You might be thinking of, there was also a, the owner of the Oilers might have been called Bud something. Bud Adams.
Thank you. I was going to have to Google that later. I'm glad you got that one.
What's Grant saying about BA? Something like if they could have gotten a first round pick for BA if they traded him a year ago, and now they're going to get a seventh round pick.
Well, look, you want to talk about what the Niners did screw up? They might not have really played a big role in screwing up that relationship. It feels like that came an awful lot from Brandon Ayuk's side of the table, but their lack of anticipation, not knowing what to do at wide receiver, has defined this team in a negative way for way too many seasons. So, yeah, they did screw that up. They screwed that up with Debo. They screwed that up with Ayuk for sure.
Will they go for Omar Cooper? T-Bone in the house says, hey, I'm T-Bone.
Just $4.99.
T-Bone. Sounds like a commercial for Safeway, doesn't it? And you can get the T-Bone in the Max Pack at $4.99 a pound. We have this one. What does that say? Rita Thomas.
It's saying, hey, Damon, maybe Brandon can open up a student driving class. Right by Levi Stadium. He's got that straightaway. He likes to go flying down. Is that miles? Is that kilometers? I don't know. He can teach both American and Canadian students. He works in miles and kilometers, apparently. So,
yeah.
Versatile.
I think it's called, I think the name of his company is called 100 MPH Down Tasman. look it up. You'll really enjoy it. Oh, we got that one. Okay. We got this one from Frank Mello. Thoughts on the Niners selecting Dylan Thienemann with a late first round pick. I think he's going to be there, and that's a very intriguing pick. You know, we talked about this at the beginning of the offseason. John Lynch needs to find John Lynch. Thieneman's not the hitter that Lynch was, but Lynch was not, couldn't run the way Thieneman can run. So that's interesting. I don't know if that, I don't either. It's most likely they either love him or he's not their type of guy. So we'll have to find out, but he'll be in their range and they have a need.
He is not an offensive lineman. Therefore, I cannot endorse the pick. He is a good player, though.
By the way, I read an article this weekend on your guy, Monroe Freeling, and they said at the combine that Freeling had an incredible weekend as far as the measurables, how he measured, how he weighed, all the measurables. But they said that his on-field workout was a disaster. So I don't know. When you have all the measurables that people dream of, but then your workout's a disaster.
They're saying he's the number one tackle off the board, so it couldn't have been that bad.
I don't know. We're going to see. I did read that this weekend from Brugler saying that his on-field workout at the combine was bad. We have this one, Rita Thomas, been a member for 17 months. Way to go, Rita. A little clap for Rita. Brandon could have helped the 49ers last season, but he gave Foxtrot Union.
It's the FU, Larry. It's the FU. We're doing airplane tail speak right there. Airplane code speak right there. It's a Roger Alpha Niner Sixer. It's a Foxtrot Union's the FU. Yeah, look, Brandon Ayuk could have absolutely stepped in and solved a lot of problems. He chose to do the exact opposite of that. He chose to be, you know, chief among the problems. So
can I tell you my cop story? I got pulled over. I took my girlfriend to the beach. We were drinking a few beers. This is back in high school. Kind of not a great example, but got
drinking
pulled over
underage in your car. Right. Yeah. Great.
No, at a beach. On a beach.
Okay. You're at a beach.
On a beach. And a cop came up. Let me see your ID. Give him the ID. Yeah. It's Kruger. Yeah, it's Croco, Romeo, Uco, Echo, Greco, Echo, Romeo. You know,
yes. A little Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, which, by the way, great Wilco album, especially on a sunny day. Go outside on a sunny day, listen to Heavy Metal Drummer by Wilco. You'll enjoy it.
Not to be confused with Falco, Rock Me, Amadeus.
Very different.
T-Bone A4. He says, can the 49ers trade BA for a conditional draft pick? No draft pick. 49ers need to get something for BA, but need to get him gone soon. And give me McCaffrey's brother.
I mean, here's the thing. Can't they find someone who wants to take a flyer on him for a sixth rounder? Why does this guy to come in at seven? Here's the thing. If it is just seven, that's how damaged goods he is. That's how much people think this guy's lost his marbles and isn't going to come back from this knee reconstruction. So,
yeah. I mean, the whole thing seems like, let's get it over with.
Yeah.
Stefan says, would you sign Joey Bosa for $8 million? Yes.
Yes. $8 million. Yes.
Yeah, I would. Stefan says, thoughts on extending Ayuk?
With the middle finger?
Yeah.
what are you extending?
Let me think it over. No, I'm going to go with no. Broken down, bad attitude, driving 100 miles an hour. Looks like the guy who just changed my tires at Big O. No. Yeah,
that question gets the Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. WTF, what are you doing? No.
I got to go. I got 4 minutes before I'm going to say, Greg Silver, you are correct, sir. Anyway, that's going to do it for us. Shop our sponsors. They're all listed below. Thanks to all of them. Thanks to all of you.
And
Damon, what do you got cooking at 11?
I'm just saying speedy recovery to Greg Papa, which is why you are heading over to KNBR in just a little bit with Greg Silver. Say hi to Silver for me. The what do I got the rest of the day? I actually got some things that I got to run around town. I got to help Jillian with a project that she's working on. So I'm kind of tapping out the rest of the day. Nice. In terms of something happening, unless there's some breaking news. I mean, we'll find out. But we'll be back with the normal 11 a.m. West Coast time show on Tuesday. In the meantime,
what day would you like to appear on Niners Nightly? Ooh, this week, you can't pick tonight.
Dealer's choice, huh? Dealer's choice.
Wait, yeah, there's only I'm on the radio 2 days during the day, so I won't have those 2 days. I think I'm on Tuesday, maybe Tuesday, Thursday this week.
Oh, you text me my options. I'll text you my answer.
There you go. Good news. All right. That's going to do it for us. Thanks to Damon. Thanks to all of you. Now we're just looking for the button that gets us to the door.
But, you know, it's not an easy button to find.
Find your button.
I wrote down wake up close in an envelope, and I put it down, and I said, hit this fucking button.
Fix your router, Larry. You got to get your router ready to go. Got to get your router ready. Got to fix the button. Put the button in the router. Go.
Craig, you're so cute. You're having problems with your router.